In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. When we say the word departed to talk about those who have gone before us, it's really in our perspective that something is different, that they were with us and now something is different. They have gone, they've passed away, their soul has been separated from their body, we have buried their body, and that feels like some kind of departure. And it's not a departure that God has wanted for us to remain forever, so he came and visited us and also died with us. He suffered and was buried, as we will confess over and over again in the confession of our faith. But really, departed does not mean separated from God. We heard in the beautiful epistle to the Thessalonians that we will always be with the Lord. And the word depart is really a very hideous and terrifying word. And we will hear it tomorrow's gospel, where he says to those who have been working iniquity and have been not working their giving works, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And even, you know, the departure from God is not being away from the presence of God, because the presence of God is inescapable. Time and again we hear that the saints say that heaven and hell are spiritual conditions. They are the ways that we receive God's love. And those who are opposed to this, those who have not prepared to receive it, those who have not cared about it, will be in God's love, and it will be caustic. I've said this before, that the way that a plant receives light and water and grows when it's alive, but if it's not alive, then light burns it and water rots it. So it's the opposite effect on the plant based on how well it is. And of course, we are always called some kind of plant. When we're united with Christ, we're a branch, we're like wheat that falls in the ground. And then we also know that unless wheat dies, it doesn't grow. This is what Christ says. So when we talk about departed, it's really in our perspective that something is different. And God acknowledges that it's hard. He wept for Lazarus, not because out of a sense of powerlessness, because he is, he said this, the resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. And so it's not out of his sense of powerlessness, but out of his sense of compassion for the human condition that he shed tears upon the death of his friend Lazarus. So our wonderful and compassionate and loving Lord visits us and understands how we that we experience death as some kind of departure, but it's not a departure from him. And this is why we say, instead of dying, we say fallen asleep in the memorial service, because it's an anticipation of the resurrection. And we know from Scripture, in one of the Psalm verses, it says that the Lord has awakened, has risen as one out of sleep. So this is what we're also getting ready for, and we heard more about this second coming today as well. Not to be deceived and not to be caught unaware or unprepared for the Lord's second coming. And not to be weighed down in our hearts with dissipation, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Now, I know that this is also sometimes feels like a fine balance, because Christ says, whoever would save his life would lose it. Whoever loves his life, you know, you have to. There's that kind of how do I know whether I'm doing the right thing? Am I caring too much about this life, or am I caring too much about? It's not bad to care about this life. If it were bad to care about this life, then Christ wouldn't have told us to feed the hungry, water the thirsty, clothe the naked. When those are things that are of this life, and Christ is asking us to do it. If it didn't matter at all, he would have said, just let each other perish. Just give it all up. But obviously, something is important about being stewards about this life. And it's important to go to the doctor and to eat correctly. And we fast partly to be good stewards of our body. To be good stewards of the money that God has entrusted us with. But what does it mean to put those things ahead of God? Is to say that life is God, instead of God is the source of life. That if we worship our health and our body before we worship God, then we will not be able to give. We won't actually be able to take care of ourselves the way God has entrusted us to. Because St. Paul says, if the dead are not raised, then eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So this is the deceit, that we think too much about feeling good, and then when that happens, we really don't take care of ourselves. We don't remember that God has come into this life, into this suffering, and has blessed us and has transformed us. Because if we think that this is it, then we won't take care of ourselves correctly, and we won't try to see how we can help someone else. So when we do the memorial service, we do this as a way of saying that God is the resurrection and the life and the repose, not just of those who have gone before us, but also ours. We remember that when there's an expression in Greek when we say zoi sesas or zoi semas, and usually we might be mistakenly thinking that it's just for us who are left behind. But when we say zoi semas or zoi sesas, we really should be thinking of the person who has gone before us, that they're not, that even though they are departed in a way, they're not departed from the church, and that life is coming to that person who departed. Otherwise, we would turn it into some kind of a superstitious expression. But when we say zoi seolus, that person who has gone before us is also going towards life. And St. John the Evangelist said that he has passed from death to life, meaning that we are waiting for the resurrection. It's hard to wait for this day of the resurrection when we'll be united with loved ones once again, bodily. This is forgotten also, that sometimes we think of the next life as something that's not in the body. But Christ, when he was risen, he said, he asked for a fish, and he ate it. And says that he did this see that a spirit has not flesh and bones, that as you see that I have. So we're not always comfortable with this body because it's beset with weaknesses and because we're surrounded with temptations. But God came into the world and sanctified that which was bodily, and that he can help us to be purified and be good stewards of the creation, that we're here, and that we take care of our bodies in the correct way. Yes, taking care of our nutritional and medical and spiritual needs. Spiritual being the first, I mentioned the last, but that's the first, and then other things fall into place, and that God visits us even in our sickness, even in our death, and shows us that it's not the end, that Christ rose, and because he has sent down the Holy Spirit on the church, and he has baptized us, this is a beautiful life that we have, getting ready for resurrection, getting this body ready to be transformed to life, and that all of those who have gone before us are waiting for the return also, to be called out of the tombs, and that we will always be with the Lord, always together. So may he give us encouragement, because I know we are here memorializing those that we really miss, and we know that we can pray to God for the forgiveness of their sins, both voluntary and involuntary, and that we can be preparing to be with the Lord always, starting now. The thief on the cross heard the words, "You will be with me today in paradise." And paradise starts with repentance, and it can happen independently of our surroundings, that we can have our hearts not weighed down, but united with God, who gives to all eternal rest and resurrection. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.